Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks so much for being a part of our conversation today. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." We are all in need of forgiveness and desire to be forgiven when we make mistakes. But it can be a roadblock when we are in the position to forgive others. So join in the conversation as we discover how to prepare our hearts to forgive. Okay, Janie, so as we talk about preparing our hearts to forgive, what are the first steps we need to know before we begin the process of forgiveness?
There are two main issues that we always need to be aware of in going through the freedoms of forgiveness. And number one is we always need to be willing to acknowledge where we have been wrong and acknowledge that to your Heavenly Father, because that's where your conscience is going to get cleared.
Okay.
And so I can always use what they call the Christian wash rag, which is 1 John 1:9, where it tells us to confess. But that confess means to agree with God that there is a wrong that's been committed.
Okay.
And you are confessing your part in the wrong where your attitudes and actions have not complied with what the Lord has taught us. So I'm just going to say bullet word, confess. Confess to the Father God, whatever it is.
Okay.
Now you are free to see what you need to do in preparing your heart, the soil, so that it can go through the process of forgiveness and come out in freedom.
Okay.
Not damaged.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
And there is one chapter in the Bible, Sharon, it's in Philippians 4, that I see seven, we can say exhortations, or we can say precepts.
Okay.
That are just very subtly written into the scriptures. And yet this can be the seven, I'm going to call them precepts, that can prepare your heart to go through the process of forgiving when you have been the wronged one.
So are we reading the scripture and then going to the precepts?
Well, I tell you what, let's set a stage by going to Psalms 55:12-14.
Okay.
And this is David talking, and he said, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng." So let's deal with a person who has been wronged by someone they thought they could love.
Okay.
Because offenses that happen from within those that we love in a marriage, with our siblings, with our friends, with our brothers and sisters, the relationships is where most people struggle with forgiveness. So I do want to say that taking your hurt in a relationship back to Father God at first and clearing your conscience is really necessary to be able to get the heart prepared. Because if you don't have the soil prepared, you're going to be trying to forgive on stony ground, hard, rocky ground, and you're going to struggle. But once you've got your conscience cleared with Father God, then you can hear these seven precepts or seven exhortations.
Okay.
So that's the foundation that we're going to work with today.
Okay.
Okay, the first precept that I would like to bring out to you today is the precept of standing fast in the Lord. But you know what, Sharon? The circumstances that Paul was in when he said, "Stand fast in the Lord," not because he was sitting preparing another great sermon to teach in the pulpit. He was in prison, in chains. He did not have good circumstances.
Right. Okay.
But he was not terrified, nor was he depressed. He had learned to stand fast in the Lord. He knew that he had adversities without and within, and he knew that his strength to stand had to come from the strength of the Lord. That had to be his source against the enemy and the tools that the enemy was using to quiet him, to cause division, and break up the body of Christ that he was seeking to establish.
So this is what happens to us in our families because we're lashing back. He's saying just stand fast. And instead, we're taking action.
And if I can give a word of loving exhortation, just be quiet and let the Lord speak. And, you know, Sharon, he speaks the loudest when we are the quietest.
Yeah.
There's a verse that says, even without speaking, wives, you can win your husbands by mm-hmm. your influence.
Yeah.
So I have learned very painfully over the years that talking too much does not always explain what's in your heart.
Well, and we can do that to our children, too. I can't tell you the times I've been hurt by my kids and the things that they say or possibly do. And if we lash out at our children, then we're not teaching them any kind of forgiveness or controlling our emotions in any way or allowing those emotions to be teaching moments rather than contentious moments.
Well, yeah, and what we are teaching them is they're learning the fine art of how to lash back because we're
and manipulate.
These, yes.
And control.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And in Philippians 4, there's precept number 2, which says, be of the same mind in the Lord. So nothing is more distressing to the heart and really enfeebling our testimony than to have different opinions and prejudices that exist in the body of Christ. And in Philippians 2:3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And this is a main edict, and it's so easy to forget in our unforgiveness mm-hmm. and our pain. And as we were just talking about how we may not be esteeming one another better in the family, but wanting to get our offenses expressed.
Right.
And we can have a good motive for that. We're wanting peace. We're wanting good mm-hmm. relationships. But the way we go about it just creates more contention and strife. Have you not tried to maybe convince your beloved husband that what you're thinking is more right on than his and that you need to validate your importance? So you kind of roll over him like a steamroller on getting your point across?
If he would just listen to me, we wouldn't have all these problems. Right?
Well, I doubt that your family is one of a kind there. I think we can probably find that in each of our families. So we need to recognize that we can even think we are going about having a good motive, that we're pursuing peace with all men, and that we're looking for a solution
uh-huh.
and the subtlety of how a selfish ambition can creep
right.
in.
And sometimes we can invalidate our husbands and our children just by our opinions.
And then there's another issue in this verse about conceit. And, you know, our pride is the root of all of our evils and our problems. And so in proclaiming what we believe to be right and the way we should go, our pride can subtly come in and we create strife with the best of intentions and helping the other person see it our way.
Mm.
All right?
Oh, that's true.
And the Bible says, stop strife before it begins. So when I read that verse in the scriptures, it was written to me in the first person. You stop the strife. Don't expect somebody else to be convinced that their way is right. If you're seeing that it's causing a separation, that it's causing irritation, aggravation, anger, resentment,
right,
then you stop it right then and there and come back into a neutrality. And Bob and I learned, and again, we've been married for many decades, so we didn't learn this the first time out, but we learned that we could have timeouts without feeling or believing that we were being rejected.
Right.
What we said to each other is, we're starting to lose control, and we don't want to escalate this situation. So we learned to just say, I need a break, and let the person walk away. Without us getting offended.
Right.
Then we came back to one another to discuss the issue on neutral ground.
And that also gives you an opportunity to step aside and rethink the conversation.
Right. And in 1 Peter 4:8, we always need to remember this as one of our foundational verses. And that is, when we remember, love covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
And we can choose to come back together with our hearts ready to forgive and confess, and we're ready to start off with a new beginning.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Okay.
And then that takes us to verse 4 in Philippians 4 with precept number 3, and that is to rejoice in the Lord always. Our conscience will let us know when we've got a bad attitude. And if our conscience doesn't, our family members or those around us will certainly confirm. And so rejoicing can really be pretty hard to do at difficult times. So how can I rejoice when all is going wrong and I realize I'm being attacked from others? So how do we choose to respond? We have to choose, number one, Sharon, to focus on what is lasting.
Right.
And Christ tells us that He is lasting, and God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. And then He says, I will give you fresh mercies every morning. So you can have a clean slate when you wake up to let the past events of yesterday or the anxieties that may be coming tomorrow, to simply live in the mercies of today, because He has promised a new set of mercies. All right, so we also need to remember, Sharon, that the person we are attacking, or the person that is attacking us, is still made in God's image. They were created. They may not be functioning in that position and identity, but when I want to lash out and shred them and destroy them because they have wronged, I'm actually attacking an image that has been created by God. And I'm doing dishonor to the creation of His image. Very few people really stop to realize that when they attack another person, they are attacking a creation of God.
Yeah.
And so how do we then keep the family name? Because when we attack God, we're attacking His name. We're attacking His family, even though we're a part of it.
Right.
And I think you've told me about situations that you know where one family member can attack another family member, and they're really attacking that family name.
Right. Right.
All right.
That's true.
So then we can really just stop and realize that we need to protect the family name. That needs to be a priority. And we do need to stop and be quiet and think and listen before we proceed. But let's proceed on now to verse 5, where that would be precept number 4. Let your gentleness be known of all men. The Lord is near. So if we want Jesus Christ to be seen in us, to others, then our gentleness must always be paramount. And that's one of the main ways that we stop strife.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I have witnessed that firsthand and actually had it done to me. And then you start thinking, it's almost immediate. You can hear the tone in their voice and coming back to you with calm, collected conversation, and you can hear yourself better.
Absolutely.
If they escalate along with you, then you don't hear that you've escalated. But if they stay calm, then you can hear that you've escalated yourself. And so doing that for someone else, it's not to them. You're not doing that to them. You're doing it for them to help them see that they have escalated. They don't realize it, possibly. It's just a way for us to help hold each other accountable.
And in Timothy, it tells us that a servant should not strive, but must be apt to teach all men, and we are exhorted there in gentleness,
yeah,
so that they can hear. But there is one other subtle point. Maybe the words are not escalating, but the body language, the facial expressions. Have you ever been in a group where you said something and you caught one person looking at another person and rolling their eyes at what you said?
Yeah.
Or they have kind of shrugged their shoulders like, okay, all right. And then that famous one-liner, well, whatever.
Yeah.
So we need to recognize that body language, eye expressions, can really say a very strong statement to, I'm rejecting you,
right.
I don't approve of you. And those body manifestations are not gentle.
Right.
So we need to be gentle with our words, but with our facial expressions.
And, you know, this is another point that I think we struggle as Christians to extend that gentleness toward each other. And so we get really harsh and rash because they're in the scriptures too. They should know better or whatever. And we don't consider the fact that they're growing as well as we are.
Well, and you triggered something that's a really important point in our discussion of the difficulty. And that is that the disciples were guilty of hardness of heart when a mother came to bring her child for help, and they take that child away.
Okay. Right.
And the Lord had to rebuke them. Or when the disciples didn't like what some of the community was saying, and they wanted to bring fire down on them because they didn't like what community was saying to God's appeal and God's words. So they had a hardness of heart. The Lord's wanting to enlighten those that he knew were looking at an eternal damnation, and he's making an appeal to them, and his own disciples are wanting to bring fire down on them.
Just destroy them, God. We won't have to deal with them anymore.
That's right. And I know.
Get rid of the competition, the opposition.
They're opposing you, Lord. Let's just bring fire down on them and we'll move on.
Right, right.
Okay, and if we just stop and think about that, Sharon, on how we are doing that today with the opposition in our culture.
Well, and even in the church, Janie. I mean, maybe they'll go to a different church. Just ignore them. You know, maybe we'll get rid of them. They're a pain.
And then we'll use the scripture. Well, they went out from us because they weren't
us. All right. Yeah.
We use some logic. Now, I'm not saying there's not a time to apply that scripture, but we can use scripture in logic when it is not according to the mind of God.
Right.
And there we need to ask for discernment.
Right.
And you know what? If we are dealing in gentleness with our own selves and others, gentleness is irresistible.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's move on.
Okay.
All right. Well, in verse 6, we've got precept number 5, which is be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. This verse addresses the circumstances of life. All right. So be anxious for nothing. There's a command that there is a way to deal with our anxiety. And that is that we start off with taking it to the Lord in prayer. cast your cares upon me, for I will comfort you. Cast your cares upon me, for I will sustain you. Cast your cares upon me, because now you're taking your inability and giving it to me, because what is impossible with you is possible with me. That would be Father God speaking. And so we need to then be careful, because even once we have given our anxiety to Him, what happens? Something else triggers, and we add to our anxiety now, worry.
Right.
So we're
right.
getting a double whammy. And I'm not saying that we can get rid of the trial or the negativity, but by casting our cares upon Him in prayer, we get rid of the burden of the circumstances.
Okay.
So we are able to bear up under the load.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
And there is a verse in the scriptures that tells us that He will give us what we need in any circumstance so that we may be able to endure it. So He's confirming by prayer, you just can't get rid of the negativity. But by prayer and trust, you can go through that negativity.
Right.
And I want to say most of us want to go over the negativity. We want to slide in underneath. We want to divert it and go from side to side. But the scripture says, no, you'll have the strength and the power to go through that affliction.
So when you talk about negativity, you're saying basically a trial or a tribulation that we're going through, whatever that negativity may be.
And there is a song that it says, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Now, when I go back, no matter what I'm in, and I go back to one of my foundational truths, that because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and because He was resurrected to confirm His completed and finished work at the cross, then He has already suffered everything that I may be encountering, and so I rely on Him to get me through that affliction. Then in Precept 6, it tells me to think on these things in verse 8. And basically, we have just done that in our discussion. We're thinking on things that are true. And that doesn't mean true according to perverted facts, but that means truth according to Jesus Christ being the truth.
Right.
We concentrate on things that are of good report. We concentrate on noble, just, pure, lovely. And that's what we've done. And Sharon, as we do that, we direct a new process of thinking in our brain. Changes your hormones, changes your electrical charges, and also starts to bring healing to you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Good reason to think on these things.
So, when we recognize ourselves, pondering those negative thoughts and pondering the situation, the trial, the tribulation, what we're going through, that we can readjust our thinking back to the Lord.
Absolutely.
And
that is basically precept number 7, and that is those things which you have both learned and received and heard, now do, and the peace of God shall be with you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, so Sharon, if we've got enough time, let's just go through these to recap.
Okay.
Stand fast in the Lord.
Precept number 1.
Have the same mind in the Lord.
Precept number 2.
Rejoice in the Lord.
That's precept number 3.
And gentleness.
That's precept number 4.
And be anxious for nothing.
Number 5.
And have your mind set on these things.
And that's number 6.
And then go and do the first 6.
Oh.
Now you will be ready to have your heart to forgive in a process that we'll talk about the next time we get together.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time. And God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHarts.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.